When you fail a check ride, most students, guarantee you, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get hired now.
Have you failed one?
Yeah, two.
Two check rides. So for all of you that are out there that failed a check ride or two, you can still be very successful in aviation. Have you ever had a moment where you questioned being in aviation?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Of course, you're not seeing Carson here, and you're seeing us in a brand new podcast location with a special thanks to my guest, Captain Kurt. He's allowing us to use his podcast studio today to record this episode. So, Kurt, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I know it's been a long time coming, and happy to give my aviation experience and advice.
Yeah, no problem. This is the first time I've ever done an episode outside of my own studio. So it's a first for me, and I really appreciate you letting me use it.
Yeah, no problem. You know, makes it easy when I'm here and we got the system all set up. So
absolutely. We even were able to throw on our background right away. So for all of you who were hoping this was going to be my brand new studio, unfortunately, it's not yet, but eventually we're going to get there. But well, the first thing we always like to ask our guest on the Aviation Mentors Podcast is, what got you into aviation?
Family business. So I might be a fourth generation. I'm definitely a third generation pilot. My grandpa was an airline pilot, retired from US Air, I believe in like 98. Father just retired from American Airlines in March. Now he's flying corporate aviation. I've got to actually fly a G5 with him, and I got him checked out.
So no way.
Very fun. About a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. So we're hoping to maybe fly some more together in the future. Uncle retired from JetBlue a couple of years ago during COVID. They offered some early retirement packages. He went that route. My cousin still flies at JetBlue, who's younger than me. My brother-in-law just finished flight school at ATP, so he's looking for a flight instructing job. Obviously, passion for aviation as well. I grew up, my dad was young. He was building his hours, and I have all these little pictures of me as a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and all this, like when he's building his time, flying all over California and doing those things. And I do have some memories, like we used to run corporate flight departments here in Carlsbad down the street. And so I got to go on some empty leg jet rides and his private jets and stuff to maintenance and whatnot. So really, family business got me into aviation.
That's so rad. By the way, I still have never been on a private jet.
We are going to have to make that happen.
Please.
So let's make it happen.
Okay, let's make it happen. I'm down for empty legs. I'll fly wherever I got to go, but I want to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's news flash for everybody. Listen to Aviation Mentors Podcast. Still no private jet. Looks like I found somebody to fix that for me. I want to kind of bring it back to when you were a student, though, because we have a lot of student pilots listen to the podcast and some well-established ones as well. But if you were to train differently today, I know your background with the with your family and around 9/11 and all that kind of derailed things slightly. What would you change today if you could go back and just do it over again? Would you have done it in a different way?
Yeah, I definitely would have. There's more opportunity now for student loans through a business like yours. Number one, I wasn't able to qualify due to 9/11, I didn't have a co-signer because my dad was struggling, just trying to survive after a large pay cut. All the airlines took a massive pay cut. People lost jobs, they got furloughed, some of that left aviation. But long story short, the way I went through school was literally working 3 jobs and paying cash and not very quickly.
Yeah.
It took me like 8 months to get through my private. Wasn't that bad, but that was too slow because I knew the name of the game was speed. So anyone that's flying right now, it's all about the hours to get to the next position. You can have fun and enjoy it while you're in it. Flight school is hard. I think it's the hardest part of flight school. Once you start getting out of flight school and you get your jobs and now you're working for money, that is a huge stepping stone. When someone would write me a very small check to move an airplane, I was a ferry pilot. I didn't instruct. I had $100 a day, but I built 10 hours of flight time in a 172 in one day, first flight after my commercial license. So to wrap that up, I would get a loan. I should have sold my car. Even though I felt like I did those things, the 2008 financial crisis, I had some of my savings in the stock market. That got depleted. That derailed my flying for 2 years.
Wow.
Because to save another 12 grand when you're only making a couple grand a month trying to fly, I was enrolled in Embry-Riddle, just like everybody else to an extent. I wish I could have had a loan somewhere and went faster. Even though I always knew, I'm trying to get this next rating. People don't understand. If you want to be an airline pilot specifically, seniority number is everything. And what I tell people right now is if you're trained to be a pilot, you're not just leaving that $100,000 starting point at like a regional now. You are leaving $500,000
at the end of your career.
At the end of your career.
Yeah.
So I think people should delay gratification, skip the vacation, you know, just for a year or two. Hustle through it. Mm-hmm. Pay the loans back. Like, hustle through it. Live like a brokey.
Yeah.
Eating top of ramen. Like, that's how I would change it.
I've said this a million times. I said, if you start your career today and you skip out for, let's just say you try to work your way through for 4 years, you're making $500,000 a year at the end of your career, and you have to quit flying at 65 years old right now in the US. That means 4 extra years of you training cost you $2 million. Imagine what you could do with $2 million. You can do a lot.
And that's if you don't have medical issues at the end of your career. Mm-hmm. My dad did. He's a very healthy person. He had a hereditary heart condition. He lost out on his last year and a half of high wages.
No way. Yes,
he got 50% of the standard salary. Actually, I believe it was your highest year within the past two. Anyways, he got 50% his last year and a half. That would hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fit, you know, so you can't control. You can try and control your health. Mm-hmm. He's more fit than me. He eats well. He exercises every day. It was just a heart condition that is hereditary, nothing to do with diet or exercise. Brandon makes a great point. It's a lot of money on the back end of your career, but what if you have to retire early due to a medical condition?
Exactly. So, well, let's kind of shift just quite a little bit, or just a little bit. Have you ever had a moment where you questioned being in aviation?
Yeah, I probably have. I would say this morning. there's been a few. I went through a divorce. In my opinion, I believe it was because I was gone. It wasn't a relationship thing.
Uh-huh.
We were kind of newlyweds. What I learned after some therapy and getting through the divorce, she wanted an 8-to-5er.
Yeah.
Even though we had been together for 4 years and she had been through all the hard parts.
Yeah.
When I finally made it and was making money and bought us a house and all that, she ended up marrying an 8-to-5er. She wanted someone home every night. You're not home.
Yeah.
And now as a father, I mean, I don't regret it. I wouldn't change it. But I want people to know you are going to miss sporting events. You may miss Christmases. I have. It's a non-negotiable now. Like, I will do whatever it takes to not work on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I'd say the moments were this morning. I landed in LAX at 4:30 in the morning, drove home, and got an hour of sleep. I mean, I'm still working, but I literally posted something on Instagram. You guys sure you want to be pilots? Like, the backside of the clock stub is rough. But overall, lots of flexibility. Good traveling benefits. You can make a lot of money. The job itself is pretty easy. But, you know, I've had also on top of that, I've had a couple, you know, emergencies in the sky that are like stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the news. Anytime I see an accident on the news or social media now, whether it's the pilot fault or a mechanical or what, it's like, wow, I could die on my next flight.
Yeah, when I saw that engine separation, that's a mechanical failure, and there was nothing the pilots could have done to save their own lives, and that was a wild one.
Based on the amount of flights, I think it's like 45,000 commercial airline flights every day in the U.S. The stats are low.
Yeah.
But guess what? Those three guys on that UPS flight, I guarantee they didn't say goodbye to their family. They said, see you in a couple days.
Yep.
Because exactly. It's routine. So I don't want to steer people away from it, but there's a chance. You know, and that's, I want to try and probably start realizing that a little bit longer. Maybe when I do say goodbye at 5 a.m, it's not just, you know.
Yeah, it's not just see you later. It's I love you. It's all those things. I want to kind of talk about when I almost gave up on flying, and it was very early. It was, am I ever going to figure out how to get these landings right? What is a flare? Why am I pulling back so far? And why am I pulling the power and pitching the wrong ways and doing all these things? And granted, I soloed at 10 and a half hours and I thought I was taking forever and I thought that it would never come. And in reality, I look back like, wow, I soloed really, really early. Yeah. And I shouldn't have even gotten to that early. But I think there's a lot of students that are out there today and they think about quitting because of these little things that feel enormous to them, yeah. Like figuring out how to do a landing. And that's probably the first time that I thought about quitting. Next time was the first time I was in a cloud and I got disoriented, flying with the autopilot with all steam gauges. And that was a big, oh my God moment, right? So there's lots of things in aviation that you learn from, but that scare you a little bit.
And it's probably not one. So just you bringing up those stories, like I kind of share a couple, whatever, you know, but it's more than that. Each time I have two failed check rights. Each one, it was like, wow. I don't want to say both of them are not my fault, because that's something you learn about when you do in interview training. You can't blame someone, even if it was someone else's fault. Mm-hmm. And in my case, like, you know, I could kind of go both ways with it, but it's like, well, what did you learn from it? Well, I would ask more questions, and I implemented these things because of that learning experience. But when you fail a check ride, most students, guarantee you, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get hired now.
Have you failed one?
Yeah, two.
Two check rides. So for all of you that are out there that failed a check ride or two, you can still be very successful in aviation. And I'd love for you to say a little bit about like what check rides those were.
And then
also give a little bit of background on how you were, I know how you got started, but even with those failed check rides, what were your first jobs?
Yeah.
And how you progressed to where you're at today?
Yeah, that's great. So I did some fast track training, which I highly recommend. If you have a job, it's kind of hard to go to flight school. Maybe you're flying 2 to 3 days a week. It's going to take you years to get through your ratings. It's muscle memory. So I decided that quickly. So even though I was working three jobs, I did my instrument training in 9 days. 8 days on the ninth day was a check ride.
Wow.
Was I fully ready to go fly in the bad weather and all that? No way. Was I proficient to pass the check rides and everything else? Yeah. And there was no clouds on my check ride. You had foggles and you did all these things. And sure, I knew what I was doing. But when I ended up going to my first IFR flight, I was sweating bullets.
Oh, big time.
I needed a new shirt. I was like, I need to fly with more people that are better than me to like actually, the disorientation is crazy. But I also did two commercial ratings in 4 days. So
wow.
It's a fast track, you know, and I had 4 days off on Memorial Day weekend from work. That's how I got my rating. You do your commercial and single and multi all in one day. So you do 3 days of training. On the fourth day, it's a double check ride, single and multi. So the cool thing is you do like 3 hours of ground and oral. Felt like forever, but it kind of went by quicker. Mm-hmm. But you're just going into singles, and then they ask you like 10 multi-engine questions because it's just an add-on.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of knock it out. So my first check rate failure was that day, at the end of the day, commercial multi-engine, I guess it's an add-on, right? The reason I failed, or what he failed me on, the flying was great. I didn't actually feather the motor on the engine out simulation single engine. When you train, we just brought it back to idle. It's still spinning. And then the instructor would be like, okay, and then what's your next step? And you go, hey, unfeather the prop. You just vocalize that. You don't actually shut down the engine.
Oh, I did. I trained all my students.
Right? Yeah. So maybe this is why I failed. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what. So he would just verbally, what are the 9 steps? I think it's 8 or 9. I was never an instructor. It's been a while. But what are the 9 steps? And then I would feather the engine. We never feathered it. Guess what happened in the check ride?
You did the same thing.
I did the same way that I trained. Everything else was great. So the examiner said, okay. And I go, and then I would feather the engine if this were engine out. And he can't say anything. And he goes, what are you going to do? And I went, well, then I would feather the engine. And then he goes,
wow.
Damn it, Kurt.
Yeah. Ah, feather the engine.
Failure. He wouldn't. For whatever reason, he wouldn't just tell me to feather it. You have to show me. I guess they can't or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to. He failed me because of that. Mm. So here I am flying a perfect thing. It's like the end of it. And he's like, everything else was great, but I have to fail you. And then here you are in the middle of, you know, flying an airplane. You go, shit. You think your career, like, oh my God, how am I? This is terrible. And then, you know, we got to the ground and then the instructor's like, wait, you failed in that? We go, we didn't train it. But I can't blame it. I'm like pissed at myself, pissed at the instructor, mm-hmm. examiner, like whatever. You can't do much. You're like, man, you could have just told me, like, actually have to show me. So what I learned from that and what I do in interviews is like, hey, I learned I'm going to ask questions even if they're dumb, but I'm going to make sure I need to demonstrate. What do you expect me to demonstrate? This is how we trained. But you can't blame the instructor for that or the examiner. So if I'm not clear on something, I'm going to ask a question. So the question now, if I had to take that check ride back, would be, examiner, do you actually want me to feather the prop? He would probably say, yes, you have to for this check ride. And then I would have feathered the prop.
Exactly.
But you're nervous, you're in the middle of a check ride, all that. So that's one failed check ride. Second one, by ATP, first type rating, I went from a Baron twin engine to a G3.
There's a big difference.
I flew it so good. I was going for a job. I flew that airplane better than the guy that had been doing it for a long time. How I failed was I was so focused, nervous. Oh, also the FAA was watching my
of course they were. Yeah.
Oh, because that's my luck.
I had that on my assistant chief ride, by the way. I had the guy certifying my school with another guy certifying him. And it gives that extra pressure.
So I was nervous, but you can't do anything. So anyways, I'm flying. I am so laser focused. I am crushing it. I am hand flying, single engine, all these things are great. So the reason I failed, I asked the co-pilot, I was so focused. And this is my first crew environment. It is different. I asked the co-pilot, hey, so he goes, you know, we're in a hold, you have to demonstrate you can hold because of the box, you can use your co-pilot, you have to demonstrate the hold, and then exit the hold to shoot an approach. And everything's going well. All I did was ask the co-pilot because I forgot if we're clear for the approach or not. Mm-hmm. I just asked the co-pilot. I didn't want to look dumb, I'm a low time guy. And he goes, yeah, you're good. We were not clear for the approach. I exited the hole, right? Just because the box did it, I exited. You're not supposed to. I was supposed to do another lap. Mm-hmm. Long story short, stops the simulator. Unfortunately, you were not clear for the approach. You have failed the check ride. Would you like to continue? And you're like, I'm like 30 minutes in or whatever it was to an hour and a half or 2 hour check ride. But I'm like, the others, yeah, I don't want to stop and I'm pissed. Let's keep going. I ace the rest of the check ride. Because you have to. You got to keep going.
Yeah.
The co-pilot was like a 60-year-old guy, great guy, who's my sim partner. He was so mad at himself that he fell apart. The guy probably had 10 or 20,000 hours.
No
He
way.
Fell apart. And I had to go, Bob, come back with me. Come on. I want to finish this thing up. So with the result, we landed. I didn't pass. I had to retrain. How you fail, you retrain in the one area. Mm-hmm. Everybody had to retrain on how to do a hold. So the FAA examiner said, hey, pretty good job, unfortunately, whatever. And then when the simulator guy came back in, he goes, Kurt, I would never fail someone. I normally would help you out and go, all right, hey, you're clear for the approach, or hey, you're not cleared. They will help you when they can, especially in a simulator training. And he goes, not when the FAA is watching. I can't do that. Right, pat you on the shoulder. I couldn't even do that. He's like, I'm sorry. So nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. If the FAA wasn't there, I wouldn't have failed. You know what I mean? But long story short, the way I talk about this in interviews now, I mean, I did this recently to get my new gig. What I learned was if I'm not clear, and I do it in the airplane, if I'm not clear and don't know if I'm clear for the approach, even if the co-pilot says, yeah, you're clear, please ask their radio. Ask ATC. I want to hear it from my own words.
Yeah.
But most people are like, hey, yeah, no worries. No big deal. So you have to spin your failures. What did you learn and what are you doing today because of what you learned? And I've got every single job I've ever applied for, every airline, is how you answer to it. You know, don't fail the same check rate three times.
Yeah, might be a problem.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
Where was the progression that you had, even with two failed check rides? I failed one myself. It was my initial CFI. I'd like to tell everybody, it was too long of a check ride. It was a 9-hour day and I was exhausted and I didn't land on the center line. I landed way off the center line and on that type of, and it was, I think I might've even done it multi-engine first. And I just landed off on my single engine and I failed on that too. And I I learned a lot from that. I felt like an idiot, but I was tired. Yeah. I came back and I aced the rest of the check ride, and I've never failed a check ride since, which has been nice. But I could see how that could be kind of on your psyche, kind of difficult.
Yeah, especially fatigue is a real thing.
It is.
Not in my cases. Mm-hmm. Mine were different, but fatigue is a real thing. Fatigue is a real thing last night when I'm landing in the middle of the night when I'm not a nighttime person.
Yeah.
Flying in the middle of the night across the Atlantic, you have to pay attention. There's a lot going on, but you're also bored. 11 hours from LAX to London in the middle of the night crossing the Atlantic, there's a lot going on. It's pretty hard to be sitting in a chair for 11 hours and be always on it.
In darkness.
In darkness. And then when you land at noon, it's 2 a.m. back home and you're so tired. And now you're in the critical phase of flight where it gets busy. So fatigue is part of the business. Mm-hmm. But you can see how you can make a decision or not be so strict on yourself. And when you get into private jets or the airline, there's SOPs and you better be landing right near that center line or it's a problem.
Exactly. So it is. So tell us about your career, because I know you've done a lot in aviation. I mean, I know how you started and I know where you're at today, but our listeners haven't. So if you can kind of give us that progression.
Once I passed my commercial multi, like the next morning, or it might've been that day, mm-hmm. I retrained, passed. I didn't have any more money. That was it. That was every dollar I had. I was a surf school instructor. I was running the surf school, paid pretty well. Anyways, long story short, I didn't have money for CFI. I didn't have another $7,000 back in the day or whatever. I was like, I got to do something. So I started ferrying airplanes. I'm an entrepreneur like yourself. I'm always a go-getter. I went on Trade-A-Plane. I went on Controller. I went on Barnstormers and made an ad. I started emailing everybody, calling every broker that brokered small aircraft. So I had one here in Carlsbad. I got a lead from a friend. I met a couple guys in French Valley. And then I would move an airplane. My first one was 10 hours, Hillsboro, Oregon. But I also had the business mind. So I made a business card. They're like $10 at Kinko's.
Yeah.
I made a business card with an airplane. My buddy even flew a 414, took a photo of it, put it on there. Because I thought 442s were so cool back then when you're flying 172s. Long story short, I built a ferry business because I had no more money to become a CFI. It's $100 a day, but that was in 2010. So it's not like it was in the 90s. So $100 a day, it wasn't much, but it was building.
It's not much more today, by the way.
There you go. Yeah. So I built a ferry business and it just started taking off. I wore a polo shirt with jeans. I tucked my shirt in. I was clean shaven. I did what I said I was going to do. I delivered and I was professional. I made a website. That was also like $20, did it myself. I'm not a tech guy. Mm-hmm. I did the extra steps to make it look legitimate. And it was legitimate. I was a commercial pilot that ran my own business. And then I started upping my rates. And then honestly, I ferried an airplane. I got a call and a buddy said, "Hey, I heard you're ferrying an airplane in Carlsbad, Texas tomorrow, Austin. My buddy needs a ride. He doesn't really want to ride on the airline. He'll throw you $100. And at that time, hell yeah, $100 is like double my pay. So the guy ends up being a broker, a jet broker. He was going to Austin to buy a helicopter and bring it back.
That's cool.
So we chat for 8 hours. We stop once for gas, take him to Austin. And then I fly to New Braunfels, which is right down the south. He comes in and he goes, "Hey, are you airlining home tomorrow?" Yeah. Airline bag. He goes, "Do you want to fly in the helicopter?" It'll be longer. It's 9 hours, two stops, 3 hour legs. In an Augusta 109 helicopter.
That's so cool.
So I got 17 hours in an aircraft with a broker. 6 months later, "Hey, I got a G3. You want to go boob it with me?" Yeah. But my first jet flight, Long Beach to Brownfield for maintenance.
That's so cool.
3 months after
Long Beach to Brownfield?
Yeah.
By the way, in a jet, that's like 30 minutes, everybody. Yeah, it's that. And that's because you have to fly IFR.
So very short. And I'll tell you this, the first time in the jet, take off Long Beach, man, I'm still back at the FBO. And he's like, "Hey, just..." He knew.
Yeah.
Your first time in the jet, and especially a fast one. We're like in Brownfield. I'm still like over the coast. You know what I mean? You're so fast. Long story short, 3 months later, offered me a co-pilot job. I had 1,350 hours. Flew the G3 for about, 9 months. I had no life. I didn't really like it anymore. I was engaged. My boss would not give me a calendar to plan a wedding. And I said, "Screw this. Let's try and give a G4 job, any other corporate job." It's just hard when you got 1,300 hours. It's hard to, I called all my friends. I decided to go to SkyWest. I needed more hours. I had 1,350 or whatever. Maybe it was 1,600 then. I can't remember. It was right around then. I went to SkyWest. I flew there 18 months. I flew 1,000 hours in 18 months. I flew 23 days a month. And made no money back then.
Yeah.
And but I built the hours. That opened up doors. I went on to Virgin America. Alaska bought us. So I kind of went from corporate to airlines. COVID, I came back into corporate. The same guy that had that G3 jet, mm-hmm. bought a G4 during COVID.
Wow.
Who do you think he called?
You.
He kept that relationship. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, you go type yourself because I'm going to lease it out. You type yourself, you can be the captain.
How much was that type, by the way?
$24,000 and 24 days of class in Long Beach.
By the way, there's no finance companies that will finance that if that's a possibility for you, except Stratus Financial.
I did not even know that. I love that about that.
Yep.
That's good to know. I may even send some clients.
We haven't done very many of them, yep. but we're the only finance company that I know of that will do it.
Yeah, why not? It's continuing education. It's just like before we talked about, if he's got assets and cosigner and all that, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, yeah.
It's just another flight school.
Exactly.
I love that. So anyways, I paid for all my own types, except for the airlines. They pay for those. I paid for my G3 type, G4 type, and G5 type. And guess what? Next summer, pay for my own G600 type.
That's killer.
Because it's worth it. It's an investment in myself. It's not for everybody. You got to have an airplane to fly. You got to have a network. Each opportunity that I had, I already had someone saying, we will use you if you're tight. Now, I'm not saying go work for a charter company and do that. They better be paying for your tight. But I didn't want a boss. So I know, you know, I went to G5 school because someone said, hey, I manage a G5. I used him on a G4. I'll let you in the left seat zero time. So even if it says zero time and tight, you can't do it? Yeah, you can. The airlines all do it.
Yep. Yeah.
Zero time in an Airbus. I went and flew it.
Yeah.
So zero time in a G3, zero time in G4, zero time G5, zero time G550. I will have zero time in G600s next August. And I will go fly. Network, who you know, a little bit of insurance, you know, things like that. So
that's so awesome.
That's my career. Now here I am flying private jets. I also have an airline job. I don't go very often. I'm selling private jets. Everything's kind of part-time.
So you still keep the airline job?
I do. I still have the airline job. I give away all my trips.
Mm-hmm.
I do recurring training every March. And it's kind of, I mean, look, there's not that many people. There's a lot of people that double dip that are flying corporate. I flew with the United guy the other day.
Nice.
So like we flew to Palm Springs, LAX to Palm Springs. Rough day, but he's a United captain.
Yeah.
Well, flying a Gulfstreamer.
See?
So it's just, you know, entrepreneurs in aviation.
I always told myself if I ever went for an airline, it would be to do exactly what you do. So you can airline around for free and keep those benefits.
Yeah.
And
to travel some wife for free. We've been twice this year.
Wow.
We're going to go for New Year's, went to Cabo. That's all free family travel.
See, and you know how much money I spend on travel? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I went to Milan in August, round trip, business class, had to stop in JFK, LAX, JFK to Milan, mm-hmm. and then back,
$94. $94.
Business class.
Well, I need to do what you do.
There are benefits. You know, there pros and cons of both corporate and airlines.
Definitely. I mean, I went to Europe and I didn't pay for any of it either, but we spent a lot of money on our credit cards and those points sure work out quite well.
Sure.
So, I mean, I have at least 2 million points at all times in my credit account ready to go. I'm actually taking my entire family, my parents included, my sister, everybody, to graduation in New York. I'm flying all of us round trip first class. All on points.
So cool.
So if you can't be like him and have the airline job, then you gotta have the points.
Get
into credit card points. And I use this website called point.me and it optimizes how your credit card points you can use. It'll tell you where to trade them to other places. It's really, really cool. And if point.me is watching, you should
sponsor
this podcast. Yeah. I'm gonna ask one other question and kind of wrap it up because I know we're kind of going a little bit longer than usual, but what's kind of the most memorable flying experience you have? And what is the aircraft you love the most? You know that me, I'm really into seaplanes. Mm-hmm. So getting that type and that Albatross was huge for me.
Yeah.
And of course, flying my Icon around, having a blast with it. And I know we still have to go flying in it sometime soon. Fortunately, today didn't work out, even though the weather is perfect today. If we just had more time and maybe you had more sleep.
Most memorable flight is super clear for me. I would have to go with two answers, but I'm going to hone in on one. I was a financial advisor before I was a pilot because I didn't have the money to become a pilot. I like economics, I like finance, I still do that on the side. I wanted to help people make money. I didn't grow up with money, I wanted to make money. Mm-hmm. Second point of that is I like helping people. Long story short, I decided that I didn't want to work a commission-only job 7 days a week, wearing a suit and tie, doing the corporate race, even if I'm helping people. I had bosses down my neck trying to sell people things that they didn't need. And I'm like, this isn't me. I'm not doing this crap. So I decided, hey, you know what? My dad's a pilot. Let me talk to him. I always wanted to do it, just didn't have the money. Now I had a little bit of money saved up, a little bit. And I asked him, I go, can you tell me more about your job? An example at the time, my dad was like, well, I drive to LAX about an hour and a half. I just walk into the terminal, walk onto a jet, they hand me a flight plan, a flight to Hawaii. I go to the gym or I go surfing. I go out to dinner and drinks with the crew, wake up, go surfing, go to the gym, fly back to LA. I do that about five times a month and make 400 grand a year. And I went, you know, holy crap.
That doesn't sell that.
That sounds pretty good. And even though I'd always wanted to do it, I go, okay, I'm just tired of all the different jobs I've had and the finance job and all that. I'm not a corporate guy. Okay, let's do it. So I decided then it's time to go to flight school, sacrifice, and that's what I did. I wanted to do what my dad did as a big surfer. I wanted to get paid to fly to Hawaii and make good amount of money and not work a lot. 2014, let's fast forward, it was 7 years later. 2014, I'm a co-pilot on an Airbus at Virgin America, great airline. I got my first Hawaii trip. There's a check airman, they're sitting in the jump seat, I'm getting a Hawaii checkout. Coming in, there's a lot of work to it. Now it's easy, I've done it so many times, but there's a lot more work to it than normal flying. Coming into Honolulu, turning around Diamond Head, I get a full view. I may even have photos and videos still from that day.
Wow.
I got to see Waikiki. I had been, maybe I hadn't been a bunch at this time, but I got to see Waikiki, all of Honolulu there. It almost brought tears to my eyes, no joke. And it was like, I won't ever forget it because it was like, I made my dream come true. Through all the hard work, all the late night colleges, all the other crap and bad flight instructors and good ones and failed check ride and all these things. I failed two check rides where I had that experience. So I overcame all of those. I was turned down by jobs. American Eagle, I crushed the interview. I crushed him. I got the job for sure. I didn't get the job.
Wow.
I got lucky I didn't get that job because that class got furloughed in the middle of ground school.
No way.
Boy, I was flying a Gulfstream 3 for a lot of money. 10 times, probably 5 times the amount the American Eagle was paying. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had that job. I would have been a furloughed guy. So even though I got furloughed and was like just lost, I'm like, I got to go try another job. I ended up landing it. Long story short, flight school and training, some people have an easy story and they just were in the right place, right time. These guys, 400 hours flying Gulfstreams. I know people like that. That was not me. So for me, that was the most memorable experience. Still to this day. The second one, if I wanted to add a short one, would be taking my dad on a Gulfstream 5 checkout flight.
Oh, that's got
to
be cool.
Just super fun. So I'm hoping to do more of that. But those are big.
Did you check him out on the plane?
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're type rated as a PIC, you can go get 3 takeoffs and landings and go over systems and applications. I kind of had a cool circumstance that
The
client had a medical issue. They needed me to fly December 23rd. I was walking out my door to go on an airline to visit family. And his assistant's like, hey, he's in the hospital. Can you go pick his family up? Like, get another pilot, just go for it. And I was like, well, my dad's legal. I'm just going to make this a training flight and just not tell anybody. So is it a little risky? No, I'm a good pilot. So,
well, whatever. If one of those ever come up again, that's how I got my typewriting in Albatross, by the way.
Okay.
We did all of our takeoffs and landings prior to all the flight and all that stuff. And it ended up making it work out. And I ended up getting my sign off. And that's how it's written on my certificate. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
And I did one other flight with them after that, but that's how I got it too. So if you ever get one of those, I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. Once in a blue moon, it happens.
I'm sure. I mean, It's not common, but.
At least, yeah, I got a couple aircraft deals like a CJ right now or a Hawker 900. We could probably do it.
Let's make it happen. Yeah. I know I said I've never been in a private jet, but I have to take that back. I've been in one private jet. When you're talking about your short Palomar flight that you did from Long Beach, I did, U-Haul has these Eclipse jets that they use to bring all their executives everywhere. I was at my flight school one day and they're like, does anybody want to go? I said, I'm going. Everybody else has to work. Yeah. I took it for myself. I was like, there's no way I'm missing this. So we took off from Riverside and flew to San Bernardino.
Yep.
By the way, it took us longer to fly there in a jet than it would have been for me to drive. So I did do that. I have like 0.3 or 0.4 logged as SIC as jet time, but I've never been in the back, which that'd be cool too.
Yeah. I think I have my buddy on an Eclipse.
Oh.
It's out of Vegas, so we can borrow it one time.
Oh, I'd love that.
You can't buy it, but it was let you take the girlfriend somewhere or something or other.
Perfect, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Your second part of the question was like, you know, favorite airplane to fly. I don't really know because I haven't done much GA flying, but I'm in the market for a Cessna 180 or 185. I was kind of been going back and forth between that and the boat, so I decided on the airplane.
You like tailwheel?
Yeah, tailwheel. I want a tailwheel.
Yeah.
My buddies are doing some backcountry things. Mm-hmm. I wanted four seats. I have two little boys, and I have a house in Havasu. So a 180 or 185 gives me my tailwheel, can go backcountry, can throw bigger tires on it, mm-hmm. take the kids camping, go up to Idaho with this group, and then also just take the family with enough horsepower to Havasu when it's not crazy hot. But so it kind of hits all the buttons that I'm looking for.
You have much tailwheel time?
No, zero.
You don't have a Cessna 120, right?
Nope.
I do. So we can go fly tailwheel if you want.
Yeah. So another buddy has a Piper Pacer.
Oh, Pacer.
He goes, he's like, dude, I'll just go, we'll go fly and they'll sign you off and all that. So he goes, but definitely get some tailwheel time before the 180.
Oh, for sure.
Said, you know, he goes, if you're a good stick, you'll be fine. But some people said, do not buy that as your first one. And I'm a pretty good pilot. So as long as you know that and you get some tailwheel time leading up to it.
You're going to have to learn to use a rudder.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. In jets and the type of flying you're flying, think about how often you press.
On the takeoff. Takeoff landing. Mostly takeoff.
Oh, really? Quite a bit.
A lot of rudder.
Yeah.
Because there's so much thrust. As you bring in the thrust, the engines are going right over the rudder, so it's a lot of right rudder.
Oh, I believe that.
And the other time that you use a lot of rudder is engine failure, just like in a
multi. I'm just saying multi, yeah.
It's just a lot of rudder because you got a lot of thrust.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But that's about it. So engine failure in a jet or a turboprop, boom, slam the rudder on the floor. That's
love it.
That's literally what it is.
I hope I can go fly my 120 with you soon. It'd be so much fun to watch you. I want to record all of that.
I would like to do that because I want to make some time. Maybe like next year, like you said, I got a busy December, but let's make some effort. Like I want to do some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I have all the equipment. Let's just go have some fun with it.
I'd love it. I'd love some content too. And I know kind of our listeners and watchers would love to see it. So with that kind of note, let's kind of wrap it up. Where can everybody find you? Online or in person or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always traveling around now flying, but because I do it as a day job. But pretty much Instagram's the best, at the Captain Kirk, or YouTube. I think it's the Captain Kirk _. There's some flying videos on there. I want to put out some GA stuff. Mm-hmm. I won't be putting out as much Gulfstream stuff as I can't with clients right now, the current clients I'm flying. But yeah, go look for me on Instagram or YouTube, and hopefully we'll throw some content out together and more fun flying coming from me, for sure.
I love that. And I know you're a big proponent of LinkedIn as well. Can anybody find you on LinkedIn?
It's a good spot. Yeah, they can send me a message. I'm actually pretty active on LinkedIn. Instagram sends a lot of messages to spam. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people get stuck there, and I don't go in there that often. But LinkedIn is a good place. If you got a question, I'll answer for you when I get to it. And I'm on LinkedIn probably every day.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again for listening today. I hope you really enjoyed today's episode in this newer studio that's not mine yet. So thank you for listening. If you want to reach out to either me or Carson, it's brandon@aviationmentors.com, carson@aviationmentors.com, or for our wonderful producer, Mark, producer@aviationmentors.com. Also, like I prefer, reach us out on LinkedIn, just like many of you already have. LinkedIn's probably the best way to get a hold of me, especially if you want quick answers. I'm on it frequently. I use it probably more than any social media nowadays in general. So thank you again. Also, please don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, share all the wonderful things you're supposed to do on social media if you're listening or watching us on. We really appreciate it. It's a huge part of helping us grow the aviation community and, of course, helping us grow the podcast. And since Carson's not here, as we wrap up for the day, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.